Morning, brethren. We find ourselves a part of one of the great adventures of mankind's history. Because those of us in this hall today are a part of the great end time work of God that is announcing to the world the soon coming return of Christ and the establishment of the government of God upon this earth. But as a member of this church and as a student of the Bible, you are called upon to select three scriptures from your Bible that best describe this work of God today. Which three scriptures do you think you would choose? Well, of the three that I have chosen today, brethren, I think nobody would have any problem agreeing with the first two because they're very well known. But the third is not so well known. The first two I'll just quote to you, and the last one we'll take a look at. As I say, these are the three scriptures that I've chosen because I feel that they are the best three that describe this work of God today, the end time work that we are a part of. The first one that I'd like to quote to you is Revelation 3 and verse 8, where it's talking to the Philadelphian era of God's church, this era today. And Jesus says, "I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name." Now that once again, for 90% of you, I think, would be a scripture of which you're well familiar. And the reason that I've chosen it, as you would probably choose it also, is because it applies specifically to the Philadelphian era, and because Christ said that he has set before us an open door that no man would be able to shut until Almighty God says that our time has come. So this particular scripture relates to the power of this word, that it would be a powerful witness, because it would be an open door that no man could shut. Because Christ said, "We have a little strength," as God said in another place, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." And so because we are weak, because we are lacking in strength, God is able to do a powerful work through us, as Jesus Christ prophesied 1900 years ago in the book of Revelation. The second scripture that I chose, brethren, once again that you're very familiar with, I'm sure, Matthew 24 and verse 14. Because some of the works of God throughout past history, in fact all of them, have been local, limited to a certain geographical area. But this work is different. Not only was it to be a tremendously powerful witness that no man would be able to shut off, but it was also to be a worldwide witness. As Jesus Christ says in Matthew 24 and verse 14, "This gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come." So the first scripture relates to the power of this work. The second one relates to its scope, that it's not just a local work limited to a certain geographical area of this earth. It is to be a worldwide work, a global end time work. And the third scripture, the one that I'd like you to turn to in this regard, brethren, is found in Hosea chapter 12. A scripture, like I said, that perhaps is not so well known by the members of God's church. Hosea chapter 12, and beginning in verse 9. Because as Revelation deals with the power of this work, and Matthew deals with its scope, this third scripture in Hosea I have chosen because it deals with the method, the means, whereby God would reach the world. He says in chapter 12 of the book of Hosea, in verse 9, and it has specific reference to this feast that we are keeping today, which is another reason that I've chosen it. He says, "I that am the eternal your God from the time of the land of Egypt will yet make you to dwell in tabernacles, as in the days of the solemn feast." God says here in this verse that the day is coming when all of Israel shall keep the feast that you are keeping here today, brethren. Just as in the last chapter of the book of Zechariah, he shows that the Gentile nations in the world tomorrow shall keep it also. But with regard to the Feast of Tabernacles and all that it portrays, the wonderful world tomorrow, the coming kingdom of God, the reestablishment of the government of God, God says in that regard, verse 10, "Toward all that the Feast of Tabernacles symbolizes, I have also spoken in witness to this world by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets." The reason I chose this as the third verse, brethren, which I think best describes his work today, is because it relates to the method. The first to the power, the second to the scope, this one to the means and the method whereby we would reach the world. And the important word is that God has multiplied visions and similitudes. In other words, what God is saying, brethren, is that there would be no one single method, no one single means whereby he would reach this world. He would use a multiplicity of means. Every means available to Almighty God, he would use to reach mankind in the end time. And if we take a look, brethren, at this work of which we are a part today, we see a multiplicity of means having been made available to us to reach mankind. Methods which were never available to any of the previous eras of God's church or to any of the prophets of old to the same extent they have been made available to us or to the kind of means made available to us. First of all, with regard to the spoken word, by radio and television, 20th century inventions, we've been able to take the word of God directly into the homes of hundreds of thousands of people. By campaigns and plain truth lectures, we've been able to invite people to hear a representative of the work of God in their own local city. And by Mr. Armstrong's visits to world leaders, once again, the spoken word has been taken directly into the offices this time of the top echelons of different governments of this world. Thus, every class, brethren, is being reached by the spoken word. Where the written word is concerned, God has provided us through the printing press, the plain truth, the booklets, the correspondence course, where once again, brethren, we have been able to take the word of God directly to the homes of the people because of the mailing system that is available to us in the 20th century. Also, besides that, we've had the fair booths, the exhibitions, the newsstands, whereby the Word of God has been put on display before people passing by to catch their eye, and as well advertising in newspapers and magazines. From the spoken word to the written word, and for the last category, the good works arm of the work of Almighty God, Ambassador International Cultural Foundation, whereby through cultural activities, charitable programs, humanitarian projects, we're able to provide an example of good works that backs up the spoken word and the written word. So, brethren, you name it, and we've just about done it. God has multiplied the visions, multiplied the means of us reaching the people with the vision of his coming kingdom to this earth. And now, in the past year, God has opened up to us a new door. Because undoubtedly God has more surprises in store for us, brethren, from the standpoint of the means and the methods whereby we shall reach the people before we come down to the final method, which will be the performance of the great miracles once again that the New Testament era performed. And this new door, brethren, as a part of God multiplying the means of reaching the people of our nation and of the different nations around the world, is through Almighty God inspiring Mr. Armstrong to use his talent in the field of writing to produce books that can be displayed in bookstores and be available to be bought by the people who see them there. And the book that we have available for you this year, that you'll be able to pick up after the services, is Mr. Armstrong's new book that was advertised to you before you came, Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. And with regard to this new door, this new means that God opened up to us this past year, because this past year the book, The Incredible Human Potential, was put into the bookstores, I'd like to quote to you from the Pastor General's report of November of 1978. Mr. Armstrong says, "Millions buy books and spend time on books instead of television and magazines. The bookstores and shops offer us an entirely new open door, a totally new audience to reach in the US, Canada, and Britain, and the English-speaking countries. If this becomes a big enough success, we can have the books translated and made available in other languages." And so we see then, brethren, that God has added a new dimension to his work in fulfillment of Hosea chapter 12, because he said that he would use a multiplicity of means to reach the people. I'd like you to turn now to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4, and beginning in verse 6. Because this book, brethren, that Mr. Armstrong has written on the world tomorrow to be available to the public, gives vision of what the future is really to be like. And so because Almighty God said that he would multiply visions, we have different methods today of giving vision to the people, and one of them is in book form, whereby they can read about the wonderful world tomorrow and develop a concept, an idea, a vision of what the future is really going to be like. But this book particularly, that Mr. Armstrong has written, Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like, is not just a partial fulfillment of a multiplicity of means, a new means whereby to reach the public. It is a fulfillment of prophecy in its own right, brethren, this particular book, as it relates to the world tomorrow. Because notice Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Then he answered and spoke to me, saying, This is the word of eternal to Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Eternal of hosts. And this is a fourth scripture that perhaps you could add to that list of three. This one really reiterates what Revelation 3 and verse 8 said, because it says it would be that we would be in a little strength, be in weakness. And so God says, not by your own strength, not by your own might, not by your own power, brains, and intellect, but by my spirit will the great work of God be done. And verse 7, Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain. God said in Revelation chapter 3 through Jesus Christ that he would give us an open door that no man could shut. And who are you, O great obstacle? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain. No matter what obstacle, brethren, is placed in the path of this work will steamroller over it and continue to fulfill its commission until Almighty God says, as I pointed out, that our time has come. Our time has come for this work to end and for the famine of the word to begin. And sometimes in the Bible, many times actually, the word mountain can refer to a government. And so God is saying, once again, who are you, O great government? Be it local, state, federal, or foreign, no government on the face of this earth can end this work once again until God says we have completed our commission. And if that government be a state like the state of California, and if our time has not come, who are you, O great state, O great vaunted state of California? Before Zerubbabel, you are going to get yourself level, because Almighty God will not permit his work to be by the hand of man until he decrees that such a thing shall be and that our work is done. Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it, thanks and praise be unto it, unto the name of Almighty God. Now what exactly does that mean, brethren, that Zerubbabel in this work would bring forth the headstone thereof, the headstone of the temple? Well, the major meaning that I want to concentrate on today is the fact that seven scriptures in the Bible refer to the headstone as being Jesus Christ himself. And Zerubbabel was to bring forth Jesus Christ, the headstone, present him to the world, crying, Grace, grace, thanks be to this headstone, because Jesus Christ, the headstone, is the only solution to mankind's problems. And that is precisely, brethren, what this book is telling the world. In this book, Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like, Mr. Armstrong is presenting the headstone, Jesus Christ, to the world as the only solution to mankind's problems. He presents, first of all, the idea of many scientists, the doomsday predictions, that there is no hope for man. Eventually, it will be cosmicide of one form or another. Then the other view, the Buck Rogers glamour view of the 20th century, the push-button world, where everything is going to be fine and dandy. It shows that both are wrong, and neither will come to pass. Instead, in the book, he presents the one and only true solution, the headstone, Jesus Christ, whom, thanks be to God, he says, shall be brought down to this earth, sent down by that strong hand from somewhere, Almighty God, from the third heaven, to rule this earth with a royal iron, and to produce the peace that this earth has desired for so long and has not been able to have. So let us recognize, brethren, then, the importance of this book that will be available to you after services that Mr. Armstrong has written. Three things with regard to its importance. First of all, we should recognize its importance as a part of a new door that God has opened up through his word, Hosea chapter 12. Secondly, we should recognize the importance of the book as part of the fulfillment of biblical prophecy itself, Zechariah chapter 4. For that matter, not only is the book a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, the man who wrote it is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And thirdly, brethren, we need to recognize the importance of the book and the benefit that it can be to us spiritually as members of the Church of the Living God. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Here we are told, brethren, of a responsibility that we have to this world. And without the study of God's work, without the study of the books that he has inspired, we cannot fully fulfill this responsibility. Because as it says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, sanctify the eternal God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. This book, brethren, that Mr. Armstrong has written, contains our hope, the hope of the wonderful world tomorrow, the hope of the reestablishment of the government of God upon this earth, something that we should have foremost in our minds. Why was it, brethren, when the disciples came to Jesus and asked him to teach them how to pray, that the very first request he said that they should make in that framework prayer, that sample prayer that he gave to them, after they should have acknowledged God and given praise and honor to his name, he said, after you have said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The very first request, thy kingdom come. Why the first one, brethren? Because the reestablishment of God's government upon this earth is what is foremost and uppermost in the mind of Almighty God. And if that is what is foremost in the mind of God, then that's what he wants foremost in our minds also. It's like the Bible says in one place, where there is no vision, the people perish. And if we, the people of God, begin to get so wrapped up in the cares of this life, in physical needs, material desires, selfish concerns, we begin to obstruct and to block our view, brethren, of the coming kingdom of God. And when we do that, we begin to perish spiritually. So we of all people, as shown here by 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, have an obligation to read the book that God has inspired, to study it, imbibe it, digest it, and to build vision from it. So take advantage, brethren, of the blessing that God is offering to you today. Make it a point with yourself to secure your copy of the book that will be available for you after the services. And make it a point before your God to read it and to thereby build vision. Because God, brethren, does want us to be reading about his coming kingdom, to be thinking about it, and to be dreaming about it. We as the people of God are to dream, brethren, of the time when this earth shall once again be as the Garden of Eden was. We are to dream of a time of universal peace that shall at long last come to this earth with the return of Jesus Christ, when there will be no more war and no more disease, and no more famine, and no more human wretchedness, poverty, misery, and suffering. We are to dream, brethren, of a time of universal healing, when the blind shall see, and the dumb shall sing, and the deaf shall hear, and the lame shall walk. We are to dream of the time when the knowledge of the great God shall finally cover this earth, as the waters cover the sea. So read the book, brethren, and thereby build the vision. The vision of a new world order, and the vision of a new tomorrow.